From Sunburst Media Productions, this is Spectrum 360. Welcome. Your Spectrum 360 host is Mark Skogman. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. and online anytime via podcast. Thank you for listening for the next hour. Spectrum 360 is progressive and features political talk and humor and also the arts and popular culture. Spectrum 360 starts right now. Let's get to work.
Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Any one of you who feels cynical, just consider where we have been.
You want the truth, you should seek it out for yourself. That's what they're afraid of, you.
This is information the world needs to know.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
Thank you. Bless you. This is the end of the meeting. It's the beginning of the movement. Thank you.
Yeah. Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
That's right, folks. Don't touch that dial.
Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360.
From the tropical and beautiful Tampa Bay area in the state of Florida on the eastern coast of the Gulf of Mexico, this is the radio program Spectrum 364, Monday, the 10th of March, 2014. Welcome. I'm your host, Mark Skogman.
My God, so you are a character that you are. There's never any telling what you'll say or do next.
Well, interesting. And
I'm your co-host, Terry Weeks.
Terry Weeks is here, is co-hosting this week. And I thank Terry for being in the studio.
I can see Russia from my house. Hey.
Really? Was that you or is that Sarah Palin?
That wasn't me. I think that was her.
Oh, I see. Okay. All righty then. Got some questions about that.
There's something squirrely around here. Could be you, Dad.
Really? Okay, on Spectrum 360 in this edition, the program focus for tonight is elections and candidates. Yes, interesting that we have that kind of a focus, isn't it? Yes, it is.
What's up, Doc?
Well, what's up is segment one. We're going to have an interview live in the studio with Alex Dunsing. Alex Dunsing is the head of the Wunderberg Corporation, and they sponsored a very interesting and creative and unique candidate forum just two Saturdays ago. We're going to talk about that. We're going to interview Alex, get his perspective. Alex is a former candidate himself, so he'll have an interesting perspective on that. Then in segment two, if we can get in contact with him, we're going to have an interview live via telephone with Chris Orowski, who's running for Tarpon Springs City Commission. I believe it's seat four. And the election is looking very good. We've had a problem getting in contact with Chris, so I don't know if that's going to happen or not, to be honest with you. But whatever, if we can get him on the program tonight, we definitely will. And then segment three is going to be an interview live via telephone with John Paul Rosa, who's running for Clearwater City Council. And I believe it's seat two that he's running for. We'll confirm that with John Paul Rosa. He's been on this program before, as well as Chris Orbowski. So people that listen to this program regularly know that these gentlemen have been on the program before. Now, Spectrum 360 has endorsed Chris Orbowski in his election and also John Paul Rosa in his election. And we've also endorsed Alex Sink. After that segment, we're going to talk about the election in general and about the Alex Sink election, the Congressional District 13 election between Alex Sink, David Jolly, and Lucas Overby. We're going to talk about that and how the election is looking at this time. And we'll have a little banter at the end of the program, and then we'll wrap up with that. So, another interesting Spectrum 360 program for you coming up. It's going to be a lot of fun. So let's get right to it. And this is going to be Spectrum 360 Segment 1. And this is our interview live in the studio with Alex Dunsing. We're going to read a brief introduction here for you so you get a little more biographical information on Alex. Alex Dunsing is a poet, and he's also a conceptual artist whose work currently focuses on humanizing the social and political processes. And we're going to talk to him about what exactly that means. He graduated Columbia University with an MFA. I believe that's a Master of Fine Arts in Creative Writing. Ah, interesting. And Mr. Dunsing moved to the Tampa Bay Area, where he now resides with his lovely wife, Katie. And while living here, he's worked as a college professor and as a business consultant. In December 2012, he successfully warded off the Mayan apocalypse in a work of performance art. Now, I'm just going to have to find out about
God
that.
Thank God we're saved.
Yes. Thank God we've been saved. The 2012 curse. He avoided it for all of us. And afterwards, he ran for St. Petersburg City Council. I didn't win in that race. We'll talk about it, but that as well. I bet it was an interesting experience, and I appreciate him running. Now, currently, Mr. Dunsing is the founder and head of the Wonderberg Corporation. That's a Florida not-for-profit company dedicated to utilizing arts and creativity to enrich the political sphere. And that's exactly what they did two Saturdays ago at the St. Petersburg College Clearwater campus. In the auditorium there, they had a very interesting and creative candidate forum where they had four candidates that participated. David Alperton, who's running for City of Clearwater City Council, and also Mr. Reverend McCree, who was also running for the same seat, and also Lucas Overby is running for U.S. Congress in Florida Congressional District 13. And also John Paul Rosa, who's going to be on the program tonight. He was a member of that panel as well, the four candidates. It was very interesting. So welcome Alex Dunsing to the program.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Terry. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
And Terry, can you adjust his mic just a little bit more so we get it a little bit closer? And Alex, just come right up on that thing. Don't be afraid.
There it is.
Munch on it like it's a chocolate bar, and you'll do just fine. There you go. Come real close to it. Very good. Excellent. So how are you tonight?
I'm doing all right.
So that was a very interesting introduction. You're an interesting person. I've been, ever since we first met, I've been thinking you're a pretty interesting person and a very creative guy. And you've got all kinds of things up your sleeve. And tell me, what is the Wonderberg Corporation? Let's start with that. Just what that is exactly. Elucidate a little bit on that. And then I want to talk about that candidate forum. I was there as videographer and video recorded the whole thing, so I experienced that whole event, and that was very, very interesting. So take it away. Tell us about the Wonderberg Corporation.
The Wonderberg Corporation is a Florida not-for-profit corporation. We are currently in the process of seeking 501c4 status. The Wonderberg Corporation is dedicated to enriching the political process by introducing more of the arts and more creativity into the process overall.
Very good. Now, how do you do that specifically in terms of what you're doing? What are the specific mechanisms and processes that you're doing to achieve that goal?
Well, it's a multimodal process. One of the things that we're doing is we sponsor. There's a PAC that we've created in the city of St. Petersburg, which is we've thrown our hat into the ring of the peer issue. And the official we have an issue in St. Petersburg, and the official ballot language that we are suggesting on our petitions is that whatever happens with the pier, whether it's a rebuild or a remodel, that the architects need to consider three things that are uniquely St. Pete.
Now, quick question. The Wonderberg Corporation, the Berg in the name Wonderberg, is that referring to St. Petersburg or just any Berg?
It obviously came out of St. Petersburg a little bit. What we're trying to do is through the arts, through this issue that we're working on, because we want people to realize that right now we are part of what makes St. Petersburg unique. We are part of what makes its history unique, its arts unique, its culture unique. And so what we're trying to do through, and I know that sometimes the nodes don't always seem to connect in one's mind immediately, but what we're trying to do is through putting up art signs, as I did in my political campaign.
Oh, yeah, I want to compliment you on that. When you ran for city council, you had very creative yard signs. They were like no other yard signs I've ever seen, a kind of a creative design. Mm-hmm. You know, they weren't the typical red, white, and blue with stars signs that you see for, you know, 90% of candidates, just very straight. It was very different. It was a cool take. So it really made your signs stand out. In fact, we went and got one of your signs as a souvenir after the election was over, just so we could have an example of one of those. It had that kind of wavy design. I thought it was very cool. So it really set you apart, even the design of your sign. I just wanted to say that.
So we're continuing that effort as part of the PAC. And what we're doing is to try through these signs and through the events like the one that you attended the other night, the candidate forum, what we're trying to do is make it so that as you're driving through the area, that you get this sense that you are all of a sudden in an immersive, kind of legendary sort of realm. It's kind of like what Alice is to Wonderland. I'm trying to get like St. Petersburg and Pinellas County to be to the Wonderburg.
Yeah, very good. It's a very whimsical concept, and it's very artistic and very, very creative. And I got to tell you, just the name of that forum two Saturdays ago just kind of blew me away. You described it as a role-playing quest for candidates, correct?
That's right.
Yeah, I have never heard of a candidate forum that was ever described even remotely like that. So it was. I knew it was going to be something interesting. And actually, it was very interesting, the dynamic between the candidates themselves, because you had them role-playing in a way that was cooperative. So here you have these adversarial candidates, at least some of them were. Mm-hmm. Two of them are in the running for the same seat in the same election, and yet you had them cooperating and revealing aspects of their personalities. It was very interesting. I never seen that before. We're going to be following up because you and I did this video of the event as well, which we're going to be using in various ways. So the public's going to be seeing this. The people that were not there are going to be able to see this. And just describe a little bit more of the process about how you came up with that candidate form and how you got that started and implemented.
Well, I'm on the board of the Distant Heights Civic Association.
Oh, okay.
And one of my friends, who's also on the board, said he wanted something very radical, and he wanted to change it up entirely. But we already had a moderator for it, and I was mm-hmm. like, well, let's have a role playing quest, and then. It didn't really suit the needs of our particular forum in Distant Heights. So I said, well, you know, I think we can take this and use it as a part of the Wonderburg's mission to, you know, kind of once again make this place into this, like, legendary place where, you know, things that happen nowhere else happen. We decided to book the SPC hall and do it there.
That was a great venue. I mean, plenty of seating and good audio visuals really, and everything. So it was a nice stage. It was really cool. Now, how did you book the candidates specifically, those particular candidates? Are they just the particular ones that you wanted, or did you invite more and you only got a few? Because that's typically what happens with a lot of events.
Right. I invited them all, and those are the ones who showed up. I was particularly happy. I mean, you know, Lucas Overby, who was there, I called him on the phone and said, would you like to go? And he's like, yeah, I think this is great. Are you going to really have it? I was like, yep, I'm absolutely going to have it. And I said, do you need any information about it? He said, no. So it surprised me. So that was fun. And then the other candidates jumped in too. They were enthusiastic and really glad to be a part of it as well. Some of the Clearwater candidates couldn't show up because of family obligations. And, well, Jolly and Sink, I wish they showed up. Maybe next. Hopefully, when we show them the video, they'll see how fun what fun they missed and show up for the next one.
Yeah, interesting. So, describe a little bit more the role playing quest part of this, because I was there at one point and there was a bird hand puppet talking to the candidates, and Lucas Overby at one point just lost it. He thought it was so funny. He was just laughing, so you could barely even speak at one point. It was really funny, and also then you had this. Woman come out that was dressed as a sea monster. Now, these are just like icons in the scenario that you are running, the role playing. So describe that a little bit more, because that was really cool.
Well, what we did is I set it up so that there were five distinct challenges that they had to meet. what they would do in when approached with an impossible situation. So I put them into a room where the ceiling was collapsing, and there was actually no answer to that problem. I just gave them a certain amount of time until I let them out, which, you know, lets you know how the candidates handle pressure.
Well, yeah, that was the most interesting thing about it, because I saw, you know, they have all four candidates on the stage. You've got this role-playing quest. They've got this scenario that they're in. It's an emergency situation. A ceiling is collapsing, and then they're cooperating with her, saying, well, I would do this and I would do that, and it immediately they were being cooperative, like they should be if they were on city councils and trying to work for the betterment of the city. So it was really interesting, because, you know, most candidate forums are very adversarial, you know, debates, you know, that's by definition adversarial, and here you had these candidates all working together in a cooperative way. And it was just like unlike anything I'd ever seen. So my compliments to you for how creative that was, because it really showed a different side of candidate forums and a different side of these particular candidates themselves. Just so interesting. I mean, can you imagine what we already discussed here? A role-playing quest where there's sea monsters and there's bird hand puppets and stuff. When was the last time you saw a candidate debate that included anything remotely like those kind of features, right? So that's how creative this was. And it was really kind of a gas to be there and see this take place. And I know that this concept is going to be developed more, because it's got so much potential. I'm looking forward to working with you on that
absolutely.
To do that in the future. And we'll throw in some sound effects, and we'll do it even better next time. And it'll be great. So I'm looking forward to the future of this concept. Now, what are your plans for this concept, like in the near future, like in the next few months, like say up until the primary election and general election later on this year, after the tomorrow all the special elections and city elections are over?
Well, I'm looking forward to towards the November elections first, because we're going to need a lot of time to set them up. But what I'm doing is I'm negotiating with, you know, I'm in talks with some of the local high schools, and I think we're going to try to get some of the high school students involved in putting on this kind of production. And then I'll go around to local groups and, you know, try to get them to come on board. And then I'm gunning for the gubernatorial. I mean, I would love to see Charlie and Rick Scott in a sci-fi role-playing quest.
I think Charlie'd be up for it, but I think Rick Scott tries to avoid the public eye as much as possible.
Yeah, and he's so stiff.
Which is a good strategy for him.
I just can't imagine Rick Scott being spontaneous enough and just being funny enough and relaxed enough in public to really do well with that. But then
Although,
never know.
He would make a good alien. Sorry, I didn't say that.
Okay, that's one co-host's opinion.
I mean, as a former college professor, one of my abilities and tasks is to be able to put people at ease and make them feel comfortable, kind of having fun, put them into a spirit of play, which you know, plays can oftentimes be used towards, you know, educational ends. I mean, I think, you know, one of the things I don't think people realize is that the real power that is in these candidate forums. Like, I don't think people realize that this is the real interface of the people with their candidates. And a lot of the behaviors that we see at all throughout the campaign is they model what their behavior based on what they experience these candidates forums as being. And I think if they're less adversarial, more cooperative, more playful, more joyous, I think we can perhaps put more of that into the governmental process.
And less scripted. Because a lot of the candidates come in with their talking points that they plan to say. They stick on them no matter what. And they're not really very much fun or very interesting.
Right. I think at some level, once you've heard the platform or read the platform, basically you might as well just read an advertisement, because it's very scripted. It's highly scripted. It's also highly adversarial, which I think.
Oh yeah, that's for sure.
It turns a lot of people off to politics. I think you know they feel it's all just kind of fighting over issues, oftentimes issues that, you know, may or may not be important to them. But I think, you know, everyone wants to know, like, what their leaders are doing in terms of when they're posed an impossible question or what they would do with limitless power. I mean, I think we really need to get to know the persons of our candidates. But also, and you know, it's a good educational opportunity, you know, for us, the people, to let them know that it's, you know, one of the things I think Lucas, actually, this reminds me, Lucas was at the end of this. He said, you know, it's okay not to be perfect. You know, they're always, I mean, as a candidate, having been a former candidate myself, you're always, you know, wanting to be so utterly perfect. And sometimes, I mean, I think a lot of the real, you know, human being gets lost in all of that.
Well, that was one of the interesting things about that format, because it just this role-playing quest, it relaxed people. There was a lot of funny aspects to it. You had a like an Alice in Wonderland kind of huge multicolored hat on that you had custom made for you, that, you know, you looked like a talk show host rather than like a debate moderator, right? And that just put people at ease. It drew people's personalities out. People were laughing and enjoying it because a lot of it was pretty funny. And, you know, it's interesting because humor can be disarming and very revealing at the same time.
Absolutely.
And it was in that format. So you had, you know, candidates like Lucas Overby. He was just cracking up. He went over his shoulder with that bird puppet and started asking him questions, and he just almost lost it because it really was funny. And then Reverend McCree, he's there, you know, and it was just interesting the way everyone reacted, because everyone was more relaxed, they were funnier, they were joking with each other.
They were human.
Yeah, and like when you asked the candidates to like sit down, and they were imagining wearing certain things. John Paul Rosa did this flourish like he was wearing a cape that was just hilarious, and then he sat down, and it was just so funny, you know, that was just spontaneous. So all the candidates were funny. And then the way they cooperated, see, they're cooperating just like they would in government to solve a problem. And I think that was the genius of the concept that you had, is they were role-playing, you know, and it's, obviously it's a fictional scenario. But it does show the way the candidates have to work in a real-life situation in a city council to cooperate with each other to get things done for the city. So it was cooperative in a fantasy kind of way, but it was actually very practical at the same time. So this has got to be a great concept that's going to... you know, warrants a lot more development, and I hope that you do get bigger name candidates and more candidates for the next one, and I believe you probably will be able to do that, and it'll be even more interesting the next time this is done, and I'm very willing to support the effort and help in any way I can, because I think this really has a lot of potential. We've just scratched the surface here in terms of role-playing quests with candidates.
Oh, yeah, I mean, this was something that I basically put together in a month. We had not rehearsed a single time. Everyone just kind of had these basic roles that they would play, some very, you know, small scripts, and we just rolled with it. It was a lot of fun, but definitely, I think it worked. I think is the thing that was the most exciting part about it. But I think definitely, you know, if we have a couple of months to develop the show, I think it's going to be really amazing. I'm going to try to also get a lot of. I think it's also going to be a good way for me to. For us, for me and for us as a city and as a county, to showcase a lot of our local talent. So we'll, you know, get local artists producing some of the pieces.
Oh, yeah.
Local actors.
Yeah, and you know, the form that I saw, there was a dobro player there that was playing dobro, and he was singing along with it, and he would just pop up occasionally and just kind of serenade everyone there. And that was interesting, too. So that was another... interesting and creative aspect of it. And then after the candidate forum ended, there was a progressive rock band. So that was another twist too. I wanted to ask you before we go to break at the bottom of the hour. We got about 3 minutes left before our first break here. I wanted to ask you more about what you learned by running for city council. Now, I know that you didn't win your election, but I really appreciate you running, because I think it's people like you that push the process and push the candidates and the issues in the right direction. And I just wanted to ask you what you learned from that experience of running for St. Petersburg City Council.
Wow. A tremendous amount.
I'm sure.
You know, but I mean, notably... I mean, I did learn the importance of getting a well-established base behind you, and the importance of money in races. I mean, I can sum it up for anyone out there listening, whoever wants to run for office. Basically, you need to get your base together to make the calls, to raise the money, so you can send out mailers at the time of when the absentee ballots go out, and at the time right before Election Day.
Uh-huh.
If you can do that more than your opponent, then you have a very good chance of winning.
Yeah, understood.
But it comes down to that money.
It does,
in a lot of ways.
But on the other hand, I also was able to learn about the system, and in a way that I didn't really understand it before. And so now that I'm a part of it, I can kind of to use a term from the computer world, I can hack the system to make it more humane, more positive to people and to the environment, and and to fairness, which I couldn't do before.
You're saying it gave you some credibility.
It gave me a lot of credibility, and it also kind of let me understand a lot of the ways that the candidates, you know, the insight into the minds of candidates, which are under a tremendous amount of pressure. But you know, if you talk to them in the right way, you can really convey a tremendous amount of information that's going to be both valuable during the campaign and while they're in office.
Well, very good. Thank you for the insights. That's interesting. I was interested in your candidacy just because you're such a different type of candidate. You know, with the creativity that you displayed and those cool yard signs you had, and then this candidate forum. I've never seen anybody do anything like this before, so it's very, very creative. I'm sorry to say that Chris Obrowski does not appear to be able to be with us tonight. This is the last day of the campaign before Election Day, and apparently he's campaigning very hard and is not available, although we hope to get him on the program tonight. So, Chris Obrowski, running for Tarpon Springs City Commission. I wish you good luck in your election. One of the things I wanted to speak about with Chris was the fact that he has a plan to stand up to Duke Energy and reduce electric bills for homes and businesses. And this is information that's on his campaign website, which is helpelectchris.com. And very, very interesting things on that website. I hope to speak with him about it, but we're not going to be able to do that. So we're going to go to break. We'll come back in 5 minutes, and we're going to speak with John Paul Rosa. Now, this is one little part of one of Chris's campaign ads.
The most interesting man in the world.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. That wasn't part.
He's pretty interesting, though.
That wasn't part of a campaign ad. It was just a joke. More Spectrum 360 in 5 minutes.
Here's Downtown Dave for the Bay Area Renaissance Festival.
Hey, Tampa Bay, it's time for the 2014 Bay Area Renaissance Festival. It's now going on weekends at MOSI from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. in New Tampa, and it runs until April 8th. The festival will continue weekends from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and features 7 themed weekends, 12 entertainment stages, more than 100 artisan booths for fabulous shopping. Also see armored jousting and enjoy great food and drink. Make plans now to attend the 2014 Bay Area Renaissance Festival. The festival is located at MOSI, 46th Street and Fowler in New Tampa. Bring the family, bring your friends to the 2014 Bay Area Renaissance Festival. Parking is always free at the festival, and it's open weekends now from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. till April 8th. Be there for food, fun, and entertainment. That's the 2014 Bay Area Renaissance Festival. Open now.
Have you been scammed or received poor customer service? Did a business or person take advantage of you? Would you like to learn how to protect yourself? Then tune in every Thursday night at 11 for the Half Empty, Half Full radio show. We'll help you learn what to look out for and how to protect yourself. Contact us on Facebook at Half Empty, Half Full radio show on 1340 AM Tan Talk. And if you have a story idea, call us at 813-500-6064 during business hours. It's the Half Empty, Half Full radio show, Thursday nights at 11 on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
You may be owed some money. After 911 and 411, call 541. That's 727-541-1741. Call Gulfstream Motorsports for a diminished value report. Due to my 28 years experience in the auto salvage business, I'm very good with wrecks. So if your car's been involved in a wreck, call me for a diminished value report. Call 727-541-1741. You may be owed some money for the lost value of your repaired vehicle. And visit us at GulfstreamMotorsports.com.
This is John Austin, the host of Tan Talks The Book Club, a program that spotlights undiscovered authors and their books. If you are a published author and feel that your book has not had the exposure it deserves and you would like to be considered for a guest spot in the book club, email your name, the title of your book, along with a brief synopsis of the book to bookclub1340@gmail.com. Be sure to include your contact information. And be sure and join me, John Austin, on The Book Club every Tuesday morning at 10 on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We're talking to Donato. He's the owner and operator of Cafe Milano, an authentic Italian pizza and pasta restaurant. What do you mean when you say you have authentic Italian food?
Authentic because I learned all the simplicity, the authenticity of simple but powerful flavor. And it's authentic because we use only the ingredient imported from Italy. We are opening 11 o'clock in the morning till 11 at night, Monday till Saturday, and Sunday we open 12 till 10 o'clock at night.
And you have beer and wine.
Beer and wine, beautiful imported Italian beer, Peroni, white wine, Pinot Grigio, Chardonnay, or the traditional red, which are the Merlot, Montepulciano, Chianti, and Pinot Noir.
I can't recommend it highly enough. It's Cafe Milano, located at 105 North Fort Harrison in Clearwater, Florida. Phone number 305-519-6910. Mention Tan Talk Radio Network and get free ice cream. Thank you, Donato.
Grazie.
Are you looking for a great car at a great price? Or do you have a car that's not running right and you're looking to get it fixed? Well, look no further. Check out You Save Sales Rental and Repair at 510 34th Street South in St. Petersburg. They buy, sell, trade, rent, and export cars, public and wholesale. At You Save, they will buy your car and they finance with zero interest. Need tires? Buy three and get the fourth one free. You can get any size tire for $18 and any size profile tire for $30. Oil changes only $19.99. Free towing with mechanical service. Special car rental with mechanical service. Ask for Yusef or Joe for fast and easy windshield repair. That's You Save Sales Rental and Repair. Call 727-388-9911. That's 727-388-9911. Or call 813-477-6803. Again, that's 813-477-6803. You Save Sales Rental and Repair. 510 34th Street South in St. Petersburg.
This is the radio program Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 10th of March, 2014. This is your host, Mark Skogman.
And this is your co-host, Terry Weeks.
Very good. Now, a couple of things here. Remember to listen to the Spectrum 360 podcast anytime online. To access the podcast, go to www. Yes, that's three W's. TanTalk1340.com. That's TanTalk 1340.com. Click on podcast and click on Spectrum 360. There are 27 Spectrum 360 programs there for you. We've been on the air with this program for over 6 months now, and every program is good. We work very hard to give you a very good Spectrum 360 each and every week. So go back and listen to the archives. There's a lot of good programs there, a lot of current information. You may want to check out the November 25th program, especially because that was when we had Robert Groden on speaking about the Kennedy assassination. That was probably one of the best Spectrum 360 programs that we've done so far. Also, remember go to Facebook and like Spectrum 360. You can search for Spectrum 360 radio program and click on the like button. Okay, so just remember to do those things for the program. We appreciate each and every listener each and every week that contributes to this program. Now, we're going to go to our candidate here for Clearwater City Council, John Paul Rosa. We're going to get him on the line here. John Paul, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Welcome to the program. So, tell me, now, which seat are you running for again? That's seat two, correct?
That's seat five.
Seat five. Yeah. I blew it. There are so many city council elections and so many seat numbers. I sometimes get confused. I was convinced it was two, but it is five. So, thank you for correcting me. Now, how is the election going? How is it shaping up for tomorrow?
Ooh, it's finally coming to an end. It's coming well. It's been a long time coming, and it's finally come. So we're definitely expecting it to be a close one.
Yes, I'm sure it is going to be it's probably a tough fought election. I know you've been campaigning very hard. You told me earlier today that you were up at, what, 5 a.m. to be campaigning, doing sign-waving during a morning rush hour traffic? Wow. Now, that's a hard-working candidate, 5 a.m.
Yeah, we were up at 5 a.m. Getting signs ready for waving in traffic this morning.
And what kind of reception have you gotten from the citizens of Clearwater? Has it been a pretty friendly campaign? Have you gotten positive response from the residents of the city?
Absolutely. majority of the response has been very positive. There's been a few people who have tried to raise partisan issues into it, but you know, majority of the feedback from both parties has been very, very friendly.
Well, that's fortunate. Give us just if you can a thumbnail version of your stump speech. What are your like three top major issues for the city of Clearwater? Your top three goals for being in office. What do you want to accomplish when you get on the city council?
Sure, not a problem. I would definitely like for the city of Clearwater to start embracing alternative energy. And
very good.
Great idea.
And specifically, how would you do that?
Well, currently out in Clearwater, one-third of the income that we have is brought in by the tourism industry. Now, the city spends a lot of money invested in the tourism industry, and that's great. Now, if anything happens around the world due to no fault of our own and tourists aren't able to come, we suffer here.
And we have had a few years.
Yeah, that's correct.
Recently, that has been a problem here. We've had to go into deficit because of such things, dip into reserves. Now, if we could establish a baseline of income with the least amount of dependencies, such as solar energy, that's something that once we're done paying for, could continue to provide for the residents here. I want to establish things. I want the city to invest in things that will continue to provide for the residents here. Solar energy is one of those things. Investing in solar panels on top of municipal buildings, investing in neighborhood gardens for giving people a different option, a learning experience where it's a social environment. Kids can, with schools can come, and it's a great learning environment also.
Well, Clearwater has been making some steps in that direction with their green print. If I'm not mistaken, but you'd like to push that along even further.
Absolutely. Continue to build on such projects. Continue to have that sensitive ear towards such projects on the city council.
Yeah, I mean, sustainability is getting to be more and more important. As we see more severe weather, and we're going to have to anticipate more damage from storms, higher storm surges, higher tides, that's going to all of that combined is going to cause a lot of problems that are going to slowly increase over years, or maybe quickly increase, because some of these things have been happening faster than originally predicted. So I'm glad to see that you're, concerned about sustainability and taking action in the city of Clearwater to, work on those issues and exactly that, because that is what we're going to need. And trying to encourage and increase sustainability in terms of energy, that is just a common sense thing to do as far as I'm concerned. I think we're going to see a lot more solar happening all over the state of Florida. I know I'm working on that. You're working on it. A lot of people that I know are working on increasing renewable resource use for energy supplies in the state of Florida. So I'm really glad that you're doing that. How about, that controversy over the Clearwater Aquarium? Are there any ongoing issues with that? I know that the last vote on the aquarium and that proposal, that was voted down, correct?
The issue that they're having now with the Clearwater Aquarium is in terms of layout on how it's going to be. Parking is an issue.
Mm-hmm.
In the downtown area, parking is not that prevalent. If they're going to make an attraction down there, it's important to have adequate parking.
Yes, that's correct. That's going to be like a choke point otherwise.
Absolutely. That's one issue that the city of Clearwater is having. We're fully developed right now.
And how about if they do eventually do that proposal, what realistically are you looking at in costs? Isn't the city going to have to end up subsidizing that? Because I don't think the projections that I saw were really going to be very realistic. And it's interesting. Bob Buckhorn, the mayor of the city of Tampa, he even commented on the issue that was happening in Clearwater. And what he said, I remember reading this, is he said, take all the consultants' estimates and cut them in half in terms of everything that's positive. And that's realistically probably what you'll get. You know, and I think there's a lot of wisdom in what Bob Buckhorn said. I mean, he does run a very large city. He does know what he's talking about on many issues. What do you think about what Bob Buckhorn said in terms of the Clearwater Aquarium?
Well, he does have experience from the Tampa Aquarium that they had not too long ago,
mm-hmm.
built up there. They did have projections, and they didn't meet them. I think there's a lot that we can learn from that. I think we need to approach the situation very cautiously. It would be a shame to have this project fail and the residents of Clearwater suffer for it.
Well, I know that's something that's been of concern to you. The city tends to focus very heavily on the downtown area and the beaches and not so heavily on the other neighborhoods of Clearwater. And that's also something that you'd like to bring more focus to, is it not?
It is. It seems that there's been a common trend recently where a lot of the focus has been paid onto downtown and to the beach area. I think that a lot of money has been put into these areas, and we just need to give those areas the money, time to grow a little bit. You know, let it settle a little bit. Let's see what happens. In the meantime, there's other neighborhoods and other communities in Clearwater outside of downtown and outside of the beach that could use some attention as well. That could also turn a profit, or businesses could also be encouraged to succeed and to flourish.
Absolutely, and that would diversify your economy to make it less dependent on tourism.
Right, ideally so.
Okay, very good. Well, John Paul Rosa, I sure appreciate your coming on Spectrum 360. I know it's the last day of the campaign before Election Day and everything wraps up, and I know you're very busy. You're probably getting up at 5 a.m. tomorrow again, and here you are on Spectrum 360. So I really appreciate you taking the time. Great job. Interesting perspective on the issues we discussed, and good luck with the campaign. Remember, John Paul Rosa for Clearwater City Council, seat 5. Remember, he is a veteran. He has served us, so let's us serve him. Spectrum 360 has endorsed John Paul Rosa in that race. Thank you so much, John Paul Rosa.
Good luck, John Paul.
Thank you, Terry.
Okay, maybe it's the papers, maybe it's the family, maybe it's the internet, radio, TV, maybe it's the president, maybe it's the last one, maybe it's the one before that. Maybe it's the athletes, maybe it's the ads, maybe it's the sports fans, agents, fads, maybe it's the homeless, aliens, immigrants, maybe it's life. Don't tell me that it's imminent.
Come on, do it now.
Okay, on to the next segment. We want to discuss just elections in general, and specifically the Florida U.S. House of Representatives election in Congressional District 13, or CD13 as it's often called. That was the district that was represented by former, the late U.S. Representative C.W. Bill Young for 43 years. Wow, that's quite a run. And he, of course, resigned from office a few months ago, and then shortly after leaving office, he died. So there had to be a special election, and of course the special election, the candidates for that election, which wraps up tomorrow in the special election for CD13, are of course Alex Sink, David Jolly, and Lucas Overby. And, you know, Lucas Overby, I met him a few times. He was one of the candidates that was at the Wunderberg role-playing quest candidate forum that was held two Saturdays ago.
And just to let everybody know, he is the Libertarian candidate.
Yes, he's the Libertarian candidate. I do have to give him some props. I do respect the young man. He's 27 years old, and he's running for Congress. Now, when I was 27 years old, I was not running for Congress. And he's very personable, well-dressed, and pretty well-spoken. Now, he does not have my support. I am supporting Alex Sink for Congress for that race, but I have to give this young man a lot of credit for having the guts, the courage to run for office and doing the good job that he did. Now, currently, My information is that he is polling at 6%, so it's extremely unlikely that he's going to win.
Which for an inexperienced third-party candidate is really pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, he's a young guy, he's very personable, and I just have to give him some respect for the job that he did. Now, we also have the Republican opponent, of course, is David Jolly, running against the Democrat Alex Sink. Now, the latest polling information that I've gotten, this is from a public policy polling survey, and I believe this information, yes, it was from, this is from 702 likely voters. It was done over a three-day period, March 7th, 8th, and 9th, and the poll indicates that Alex Sink is leading 48% to 45% for David Jolly. She's showing a lot of strength there, and she's definitely ahead. Of course, we don't know what's going to happen until the election day is over, and election day is tomorrow, of course. So it's not over till it's over, till the fat lady sings, as some people say. But she does appear to have the edge and is probably going to win. And I was impressed that it's pretty interesting. I was a little bit surprised that she is winning by a huge margin with independent voters. And I thought she would do well, but she's doing very well.
Well, you know, David Jolly's been running pretty far to the right in this race. His positions that he's articulated have been pretty far to the right. Traditionally, Pinellas County is not a far-right county. It's a pretty moderate county, so I'm really not surprised to see Alex doing well with the independents.
Well, I was a little surprised that she's actually done as well as she had. I thought she would do well, but not quite this well. So it's interesting. Interesting dynamic in the race here. And anybody who's been watching television over the last few weeks has seen a lot of television advertising, both supporting David Jolly and also supporting Alex Sink, charges back and forth. The one that stands out to me is the advertisement, I believe it's from the Democratic Conventional campaign. And he's talking about David Jolly's support for ending Medicare or Social Security, that Social Security and Medicare are not guaranteed, in his words. Those are the words that are in the advertisement. So I think, you know, there's a lot of retirees in Florida. I think that put a big question mark into their minds as to whether they should support David Jolly or not, because Alex Sink does solidly support the current earned benefit programs, Social Security and Medicare. So those will be safe for the current and future generations with Alex Sink's vote. And I think that's one of the big issues. I think that's why you saw so many advertisements addressing that issue.
It's a big issue in Pinellas County. We are definitely in the post-Citizens United world here with this race.
Oh, yeah.
There has been a tremendous amount of third-party money coming in for both sides, both for Alex Sink and for David Jolly. A lot of third-party money coming in, mailers from all sorts of interesting groups, commercials done by groups other than by the campaign themselves. And I think, actually, a lot of the voters are heartily sick of it at this point and will be rather relieved when this is over, at least for a while, until the election. We'll have to have another election in November.
Yes, that's good. We're going to turn around and have to do this again soon, because this is a special election just to fill out the complete the current term. And I was also interested in this advertisement that was put up by the LCV Victory Fund and the Sierra Club, where they were addressing the issue of climate change and the fact that David Jolly does not acknowledge climate change as a major issue. And that was very interesting to me. I didn't think that there were going to be groups that were going to attack David Jolly on an issue like that, but it appears to be pretty successful.
Well, the issue, they're talking about sea level rise, and we are a peninsula here in Pinellas County, surrounded by water, so when it comes to sea level rise, we really are ground zero. And it's an issue that David Jolly said he was frankly unconcerned about. So, yeah, they saw a vulnerability there, and they're going after it.
Yeah, apparently so. I was just surprised to see as much advertising as I've seen regarding climate change. I just didn't think that would be as big an issue in the campaign as it has turned out to be. But there's been more advertising, because the Sierra Club and LCV Victory Fund have really gotten into the race in a significant way, and they've placed a significant number of advertisements. I've seen them. Of course, David Jolly has been advertising as well and has been campaigning very hard, as has Alex Sink. And, you know, he has definitely raised some questions about Alex Sink, about her record as CFO when she was CFO of the state of Florida, also a record as a executive with Bank of America. They were definitely hitting hard on that. But I don't know if that stuck with the voters or not, if that really impressed them or not. There were certainly enough advertisements run, you know, addressing those issues.
And which, again, a lot of them were from third parties, third-party organizations, and not from the Jolly campaign itself. A lot of the really, the most vicious of the attack advertisements, I believe, have come from outside organizations.
So there you go. Remember to vote. We have an election tomorrow. It's a special election. Also, there are city elections that are being decided tomorrow, as a lot of them, a lot of cities hold elections in March, like the city of Seminole does, and many other municipalities, beach communities, et cetera, in Pinellas County. So if there is an election tomorrow and you are eligible to vote, go out and vote if you have not done already, done that already. In fact, it's interesting to see, especially when it comes to the Congressional 13 race, that about 60% of those people who say they aren't going to vote have already done so, according to the St. Peter or the Tampa Bay Times.
Vote by mail is big in Pinellas County. Now, if you are one of those people like me who procrastinate and forget to send their absentee ballot in, and you still have it and you think you're going to go to the polls tomorrow, make sure you take your ballot with you. You will need to have that ballot with you, because if you do not and you try to vote at the polling place, they'll make you fill out a provisional ballot, and you don't want that to happen.
Yeah, that just that's just another bureaucratic procedure, and it just causes more work. So avoid that if you can.
Don't go near the water. Don't go near the water.
Okay, we're back. And I wanted to wrap up the program by just previewing a couple of events that are going to happen in the next few days. Now, tomorrow, of course, is Election Day, but that is not the only thing that's happening in our elections. The Federal Environmental Protection Agency is having a rare field hearing in Naples, Florida, specifically addressing the issue of hydraulic fracking in the Naples area. That's going to be tomorrow afternoon in Naples. There are many people from this area going because they're very concerned about fracking in Florida, and fracking all across the country nationally is a national issue as well. I will be there covering the EPA hearing. So will my co-host, Terry Weeks. And there's many people, many environmentalists coming from this area that are going to go all the way down to Naples for that hearing.
And throughout the state.
Yes, coming from all across the state as well. Native American tribes are going to be represented as well. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens tomorrow in one of those rare field hearings for a federal agency. They do not happen very often, and I'm glad one's going to happen tomorrow. I believe it's scheduled from 4 to 8:30 p.m. You can get more information on Facebook about that. There is a good Facebook website for people that are coming from this area going down to the hearing. It's got a lot of information regarding what's happening there. Also, right now, as we speak, the Coalition of Immokalee Workers is conducting their Now is the Time campaign. You can get more information about that from their website, which is www.ciw-online.org. That's www.ciw-online.org. And Now is the Time campaign is their latest campaign working on fair food and trying to get Publix to sign on as a fair food provider and giving agricultural workers fair pay for the hard work that they do in the fields. And the Coalition of Immokalee Workers has been remarkably successful at having other corporations sign up and cooperate with the Fair Food Program. It's time for Publix to do the same. And they will be having events on Friday and Saturday in the Lakeland area. And you can get more information on the website about exactly what's happening. I'm going to be out there covering that on this coming Saturday of this week with the Coalition of Immokalee Workers. And more power to them. I hope they have a great event, and I hope they're successful. Publix, you need to sign this agreement. So many other large corporations have. It's your turn this time. So we're going to have more information about the EPA hearing on next week's Spectrum 360 and about the Coalition of Mockley workers events and anything else that's pertinent and fit to print, as they say. That's all going to be in next week's program. Remember, go to www.tantalk1340.com. Go to podcast. Go to Spectrum 360 for the podcast of the program. There's 27 there already. There's going to be 28 in about another hour, because we'll post that tonight's program on there as well. So we'll see you next week for more Spectrum 360. Thank you so much for listening to this program. Spectrum 360 is produced by Sunburst Media Productions and originates from St. Petersburg, Florida. Executive producer, host, audio engineer, and senior reporter, Mark Skogman. Associate producer, Terry Weeks. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. for 1 hour and online anytime via podcast. To access the podcast, go to www.facebook.com/Spectrum360 Radio Program and click on the program link. Or go to www.tantalk1340.com, click on podcasts, and click on Spectrum 360. Thank you to all our listeners and supporters and the staff of Spectrum 360. Listen next week for another interesting, informative, and entertaining Spectrum 360 radio program.
That's all, folks.
We can make it happen.